mobile devices are more and more the thing. People are getting more of them even in their regular daily lives, and they're just going to expect to use them at work. And as such, we're just going to see a lot more attacks on mobile devices.
So what kind of things are we starting to see out there? I saw one that was coming through SMS text. I knock on wood, I haven't come across one on my own machine, my own little iPad yet or iPhone, but I'm just bracing myself.
Yeah, you know, the SMS ones have been around for a little while. Those usually take the form of some kind of fraud, you know, where it's trying to actually crank up your SMS bills at premium rates and stuff like that. We even saw those in smartphones back in the day, but what we're actually starting to see is full-blown Trojans and bots actually for a variety of mobile devices. And again, you know, when you think about it, that's kind of what the bad guys write for laptops and PCs, right? You know, so it makes sense that they're going to go after the same kinds of data and use arguably, you know, some of the same kinds of code that they've been successful with.
Yeah, and you got to go where the eyeballs are. Increasingly,
yep.
That's where people are.
Yep, it's hard to get around that, really, isn't it?
The challenge, it seems, is that at least, well, you correct me, are there ways of protecting yourself against those things that people that are out there in a real way?
It's a little bit more challenging on the mobile platform. A lot of people don't even think that, you know, they should use any type of management software or security software on a mobile device, right? You know, if you look at a lot of the handheld devices, you know, people really are using them before they're thinking about, oh my goodness, there may be attacks here. But a lot of the times it comes down to getting to know your device and then starting to shut down things you don't need. You know, data extrusion and data loss through a mobile device can be managed by a lot of the stuff that's actually on the device, but you got to spend time with the settings. You know, spend time with the application settings and make sure you're not inadvertently setting things way, you know, the way they shouldn't be.
Yeah. The other really, one of the more shocking things in here, malware, the growth of malware just at a record pace.
Yeah, it's almost at the point where, I don't want to say it's getting difficult to count, but it gets a little bit more complicated than just saying, oh, it grew 100% and stuff like that. You know, it's at the point where we're seeing upwards of 55,000 pieces of malware every single day. You know, so, you know, you contrast that with 2 or 3 years ago when we were seeing, you know, 700, 800, 1,000 every single day, whereas now, you know, we're at the point where we're seeing 55,000 every single day. It's a bad area out there if you're not protected and you're not educated.
One of the interesting parts is that you found that spam sort of plateaued.
Yeah, you know, that was at least kind of one light at the end of the tunnel there, right? Is actually at the end of Q4, we ended 2010 at some of the lowest spam rates in years. And that's mainly because there was a big botnet called Brito Lab that was taken offline in that quarter. And as such, we saw a huge drop in spam. You know, and the bad guys are starting to, you know, look at some other ways of getting malicious code and things like that in front of people. So, you know, threats are in transition as well, which kind of fits in with a drop in spam.
The interesting thing about the report is you break things down by country.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, because it was interesting to see where the impacts are, but also where some of these things are coming from.
You know, it's actually one of the areas that I find most interesting as a researcher, actually, is to look at the geographical breakdown of threats. You know, a lot of people tend to think that the Internet is just one big place, and there's a certain amount of truth to that. But when you start looking at the geography breakdown and say, look, oh, in Argentina, the botnets are different than they are in Brazil, and they're different than they are in China. You know, so we'll see activity very different in different regions and in different geographies, even to the point where you'll see different lures in different geographies. Because, you know, let's be honest, the stuff that you can use against an American as a lure, you know, for getting them to click something, is going to be very different than what you use against, say, a German or someone in China.
Are there any parts that just really, as you're culling through the numbers, you go, wow, I didn't expect that?
Well, I think when you look at some of the top malware, that's always very interesting because you see kind of what's working at that particular period of time. So, you know, sometimes you'll see parasitic malware, you know, is very popular. Other times you'll see things like password stealing ones that are particularly popular. So to me, it's just something that's always in flux. And the quarter is a very good representation just of what's popular during that period of time, whereas next quarter, it's going to be something completely different.
One of the things that you talk about in the report, and I've seen more and more on, particularly I think Google trying to deal with this, is search engine terms being used as essentially ways of getting at people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and with the amount of people that are just searching, or the amount of people that are on Twitter, or the amount of people that are on social network sites, utilizing what they're searching for and what they're looking for. Think about it. It makes perfect sense for a cyber criminal to take advantage of that. So that's really why we see the search engines and search term uses abused the way we do. It turned out that of the top 100 daily searches in Q4, over half of them actually led to malicious sites. You know, so again, it just goes to show you the bad guys know what they're doing,
yeah.
And good guys got to be more and more aware that these are the techniques the bad guys use against them.
One of the other charts that did really almost was stark, just blew my socks off, was the one about Adobe products. And you compare it to, everyone thinks of Microsoft and Microsoft Office specifically being just the harbinger of spam and all sorts of malware and all sorts of things. But Adobe, increasingly, that's where people are going.
Yep, and really it's for the reason that it's such a web-friendly technology, isn't it? You know, you can download a PDF, and you're going to read a PDF, or you're going to use an Adobe plugin. So we see the bad guys target those technologies a lot. It doesn't have to do with that the fact that Adobe's doing anything wrong. They're not. They're popular. Their plugins are popular, and their PDF structure is popular. That's what the bad guys have latched onto, and as such, we saw more Adobe-based attacks than Microsoft attacks.
Yeah, and people, I think, have come to assume it's an Adobe PDF, it's safe.
Yeah, and I will say this, Adobe's doing a lot of good things. They're looking at some sandboxing technologies. You know, they're looking at ways to protect the whole PDF architecture. You know, so Adobe's definitely stepping up their games as well. I think what'll be interesting going forward is you see a lot of people with their handheld devices that are reading Adobe technologies and PDFs and stuff like that. So, you know, will we start seeing that transition, you know, with Adobe-based attacks on mobile platforms? I think that's almost a certainty.
We've seen a lot more in the report, touches on a little bit, is sort of interspersed through, but Facebook and the like sites. But Facebook, again, that's where people are. So I have to imagine the bad guys are spending a lot of time focused on that.
Absolutely. You know, when you come right down to it, there's like over 500 million people utilizing Facebook. That's a huge target population, right? You know, so of course it only makes sense for the bad guys to use them as a lure. Think about it. You know, you send out a scam that's a password reset scam or a Facebook application scam. Let's say you're 10% successful. 10% of 50 million people is a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it just comes down to a numbers game. And as such, you know, we're going to see Facebook used as a lure by the cyber criminals for a long time to come. You're going to see the same thing with Twitter. You're going to see the same thing with LinkedIn because they're big populations. They have data that's valuable. And as such, the bad guys are going to use them.
Does the mindset, I mean, whenever somebody says, check out my pics on Facebook, my mindset is immediately, oh my goodness, is this real? Does that, the mindset of users, are we getting smarter?
You know, I think overall the answer to that question is yes. I think people tend to be a little bit more skeptical than they used to be, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think it should come to paranoia, but I think a healthy sense of skepticism about what's in your inbox, you know, is a very good thing. Because, again, you know, there's so much malware out there, 55,000 pieces a day. Chances are something that's in your inbox is going to be either malware or spam or something fake. So I think, again, a bit of healthy skepticism is a good thing.
One of the big takeaways from this report is, and I know CIOs are faced with this, everyone wants to attach their specific device, iPhones, iPod, whatever, to the network. And that just inherently creates more risk, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's something a lot of enterprises are struggling with. Federal government's going to be struggling with that. It's something McAfee was struggling with a year or two ago. You know, we looked one day and we figured, we actually saw that we had more non-Windows-based devices than Windows devices.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a management issue for us. You know, so we started looking at how are you going to manage that? And then take into account the fact that, you know, consumers want to use their consumer technology in the office. So you get the iPad at home or you get the Android at home. You want to use that in a business environment. So those are definitely questions, you know, enterprises are going to be asking themselves for a while. How do I manage these devices and somehow minimize the risk?
The big takeaway people should, you hope people take away from this quarterly report?
Definitely educating themselves and hoping that education and awareness leads to some behavior change. You know, we look at the future and we look at all these different areas, you know, to prepare people to make some behavior changes and to look at technology. We don't do it to scare them away from using technology. So we hope it leads to awareness and a little bit of behavior change.